Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
South Africa starts the week with questions over corruption, public safety, the Middle East, space, and football's global power politics. Good morning. This is BizNews Daybreak. I'm Masime Nyite. Coming up, the latest world news from Bloomberg, Jonathan Deal on the Madlanga Commission and South Africa's fragile public order, Donald Trump's pause on Iran strikes, SpaceX facing its first big public test, and FIFA President Gianni Infantino under pressure after a failed World Cup investment plan. We begin with the global picture. First up, Bloomberg News gives us the latest overnight world news.
Japan is confirming its first joint intervention with the U.S. in currency markets in 15 years, and it's warning it is ready to act again. According to a statement from Japan's finance minister, the finance ministry did intervene in the market on Friday in coordination with the U.S. Treasury Department. Major OPEC Plus nations have approved the latest small increase to their production quotas, a move that will complete the theoretical revival of supplies halted in 2023 and give them scope to add more barrels once the Middle East war ends. Meanwhile, a big oil and gas lobbying group is happy with the Senate's latest biofuels legislation. That story from Bloomberg's Monica Ricks.
The American Petroleum Institute opposes a new Senate biofuels bill that would expand sales of higher ethanol gas known as E15 and give exemptions from annual blending mandates for some small oil refineries. The API supports permanent nationwide year-round E15 when paired with common sense reforms, but says this proposal would weaken America's fuel supply and force oil companies without small refining units to foot even more of the bill for bringing biofuels to market. Efforts to authorize permanent sales of E15 have failed for over a decade.
Among the companies scheduled to report this week will be SpaceX. It went public last month, and with more, here's Bloomberg's Matt Piper.
Shares ended the month below their IPO price, and scrutiny of SpaceX's debut earnings will be intense as the end of a lockup of insider-owned stock looms. SpaceX may be asked if it has started turning away satellite operators seeking dedicated rides to orbit aboard its Falcon 9 rocket beyond 2028. Clear Street says beyond fundamentals like Starlink subscriber numbers and Colossus compute revenue, investors will be listening for updates on SpaceX's commercial payload delivery missions.
The S&P 500 index kicks off the week at 74.89 after an advance last week of just over 1%.
Back home, Safe Citizen founder Jonathan Deal says the Madlanga Commission feels different from previous inquiries. He says the questioning has been sharp, and this time consequences are already being felt.
I've been thoroughly impressed with the questioning from the Madlanga Commission. It's like watching, if one goes to civil court, it's like watching the top advocates in the country busy with their craft. I've been really impressed with the way that the questions are asked, that the testimony is examined, that it is cross-examined, and the questions are asked in a way that actually leads deceitful people into their own traps. It's really interesting to watch.
And consequences that we have not seen from a previous commission like the Zondo Commission, for instance. While the commissioner is still sitting, people are already getting arrested. People are resigning. People are taking other drastic measures. Murders are committed to prevent people from testifying. People commit suicide.
Absolutely. And I think that the public has become tired of commission after commission after commission with no results. I think the Zondo Commission was R1 billion in costs for South Africa, literally a room full of dockets ready to prosecute, and nobody held accountable. And this time, it seems to have teeth. You know, one can almost hear the cell phone lines buzzing between all of the people that are scurrying for cover after their corrupt activity. And it must be an enormous worry for those in very high positions that know a lot in terms of their safety, because we've seen what happens at high level and amongst the corrupt few. In fact, I love that English saying, you know, that there's no honor amongst thieves. And when thieves fall out, they turn on each other.
To the Middle East now. Donald Trump says he's holding off on military strikes against Iran while talks continue over the Strait of Hormuz and Iran's nuclear program. But Bloomberg reports that any pause depends on a deal being reached quickly.
President Trump announced he would hold off on striking Iran as long as a deal with the Middle East nation is reached quickly. He wrote this on social media in part, quote, "We have just been asked by Iran and other Middle Eastern countries to hold off any attack in that the perimeters of a deal has been agreed to. This would include the immediate, complete, and total opening of the Hormuz Strait and an end to Iran's nuclear threat. Based on this request, I have agreed for the future benefit of the world and likewise the survival of a successful and prosperous Iran to cancel the attack subject to being able to rapidly make a deal." The clauses always get me on these posts.
It's the quickness of that deal that seems to have been a sticking point, but, you know, try again. All right, joining us here on set, we have Bloomberg White House correspondent Jeff Mason in bright and early, and not quite as early, but still bright. We've got Dan Williams over in Jerusalem. Thank you so much for joining us. Jeff, I want to start with you. I was making some calls to some sources in the Middle East this morning. It seems like the messaging is that this was MBS calling Trump and trying to talk him down. But it sounds to me like there were a lot of allies involved in trying to pressure the administration to put a lid on this for now for a couple reasons. But obviously, the president has just met with Netanyahu when he was in D.C. as well, who has a different opinion on how this conflict should go. When it comes to who's whispering in the president's ear, who seems to have the most influence at this time?
Well, I'm glad you said whispering in his ear, because that's one thing we know about President Trump, right, is that he often will make his decision based on the last person to speak to
him. Bit of object permanence going on there, yeah.
Indeed. And so you're right to mention that a few days ago Netanyahu was there, and then came the reporting about this expected strike. There's also, of course, the political ramifications of a huge escalation in the war. If they had gone ahead with this, no doubt it would have had another impact on oil prices. We are inching closer to those midterms, and Republicans are not eager to see a massive escalation. That said, it is another example of a taco withdrawal, as it were, or stand down. And that's not really great for President Trump either.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas, medical aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Next, to SpaceX. After years as a private company, SpaceX is facing its first major public earnings test. Investors are looking for progress on Starship, Starlink, AI infrastructure, and the ambitious roadmap sold during its IPO.
Well, I think what's interesting about this, and at least for me, is we're kind of in uncharted territory when it comes to SpaceX. This is our first earnings call. You know, they've been a notoriously private company for a very long time. So I think we're all kind of going into this together a little unclear about what exactly we're looking for. I know personally what I am looking for are going to be updates on how they're going to get to that really ambitious roadmap that they sold the entire IPO on, right? So AI data centers in space, the V3 satellites, progress on Starship. I think those are going to be the things that will really, you know, move the needle in terms of, you know, are they actually making progress there? And then I know that, you know, when it comes to their AI investments, that's going to be a huge part of it too. One of the things we saw when they were going public is just how much CapEx goes into that AI infrastructure and work. That took me by surprise, you know, as a space reporter. So I think that will also be a big narrative and something that investors are looking at going into the earnings call next week.
You talk about the notorious privacy of this company going through the IPO process. We did glean some more information about the way that it operates and its ambitions, as you've been describing here on the show. We're going to hear from Elon Musk, presumably, as well, or not? Are we going to hear from Gwynne Shotwell, the head of it? Sort of, what's your sense of what we're going to hear or not from Elon Musk about the performance over the last quarter?
I mean, I assume that Elon will be there. You know, if you can predict what Elon is going to say, I'm going to come to you for all my financial advice, because I think he can be quite, you know, hard to pin down. But yes, he probably will wax poetic about many of the things that we often hear him say about when it comes to SpaceX, about, you know, the importance of making life multiplanetary and, you know, being excited about the future. I anticipate some of those go-to lines. But in terms of what he's going to say about the business, again, this is all new for me. For the past, you know, however long I've been covering this company, I've never gotten this kind of access. So it will be interesting to see what a public-facing company like SpaceX will be like.
And finally, to football politics. FIFA president Gianni Infantino is under pressure after plans to sell a stake in the World Cup were withdrawn following backlash from UEFA and other football leaders. Bloomberg says the controversy has raised fresh questions about his leadership ahead of re-election.
Yeah, we have a statement this morning from UEFA. It says it welcomes FIFA's withdrawal of plans to sell stake in the World Cup. But it goes on and says, we cannot keep going on like this with secret schemes on fast-track timescales cooked up by faceless individuals and a dubious benefit to the game. We must identify those responsible and hold them to account. The current FIFA leadership has not only lost UEFA's confidence, but also that of many other members of the football family. I mean, we were talking...
How do you really feel, UEFA? I feel...
Right. I mean, that's...
Not a lot of subtle there, Randall. Like, but is this real? I mean, he had kind of shored up his position so that he couldn't be kicked out, but it seems like that may be a reality.
Yeah, it's a big question going forward. And you mentioned his reelection in March. I imagine that this puts a lot of question marks around it, because they go on to say the shabby backroom OPEC deal he hatched and tried to force through was anything but transparent. And with reserves standing at over $5 billion, he has failed to use association's money for the benefit of the game. And so they're basically saying, we don't trust you anymore. You have $5 billion in your bank account. Why do we need $20 billion more? And why did the world need this $4.2 billion deal with Joshua Kushner's Thrive Capital? I think he's going to have to do some campaigning to keep his job come March.
Last I checked, FIFA, a nonprofit entity. How should we think about this in the context of that? You mentioned Joshua Kushner, Thrive Capital, the fund that he was creating here, the work that he's done with past athletic teams. This is a departure from the way that FIFA has operated for a long time. Should we no longer regard it as a nonprofit entity? How did Gianni Infantino kind of make the case that what he's doing here wasn't jeopardizing that categorization?
Well, it has to be a nonprofit now that his deal failed.
There you go.
I think if you look at a comparison of this, people are talking about this in comparison to the PGA Tour versus the PGA Tour Enterprises, which is the tour's for-profit arm. But that came about because LIV Golf was actively threatening the PGA Tour.
And that's Business Daybreak. I'm Asim Anyite. Thanks for listening. We'll keep track of what matters and leave the noise to everyone else.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa. In uncertain times, good information is priceless. The BizNews conference is heading back to the Drakensberg. Join me, Alec Hogg, from the 11th to the 14th of August for BNC 9, Champagne Sports Resort, where it all began and where our community gathers for honest conversations, smart investing insights, and direct access to some of South Africa's sharpest minds. Come and rub shoulders with the best we've got. 28 keynote speakers, 3 days. Seats are available now. Book your seat by clicking the link in the description. Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning, straight to your inbox, sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now.